Good evening, everyone. Good evening, everyone. Bonjour, bonsoir. Bon après-midi, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Namaste, vanakkam, hallelujah, amen. Whatever language you speak, praise God, amen. God is good, amen. Is everybody happy tonight? Are you happy tonight? Do we have some fire tonight? God is good, amen. Well, once again, let me just say thank you to Pastor Alice for giving me the privilege to be here with you tonight. Pastor Nenny and his wife, praise the Lord, and Pastor Vincent and his wife, thank you for hosting me tonight and allow me to be in this great church, amen. We give God praises. This is a whole lot better than the old building. We give God praise, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? God is wonderful, amen. Well, very quickly before we go into the Word of God, once again, let me bring to your attention some books which I have with me, which I would like for you to get, because in doing so, you'll be helping me to go around the world to preach the gospel. When I leave here, I land on Monday. Well, I'll be here in Paris. Monday, I go to Paris, France. Friday, I'll be back here. And then Sunday, I'll be in Bourg-en-Bresse. Then Monday, I'll take back the flight home to go back home. Tuesday, I'll be home. Wednesday, I fly to Atlanta. I'll be with the, how many know, what's this guy's name? My mind's gone blank. You know, he's on TBN. He was an Egyptian whose face was, Nasir Siddiqui. That's his name, Nasir. I'll be doing a seminar with him in Atlanta. Then I'll fly back Saturday, preach in church Sunday morning in Kentucky, in a church. And then Monday I fly to Nigeria. Then from Nigeria I go to Port Harcourt back to Lagos, Lagos to Mauritius for 2 days, then go to Reunion Island, fly back, and then fly to United States, then fly to Florida. I mean, Lord have mercy. Thank you, Jesus. I'm already tired thinking about all this. But God is good. Amen? And so when you buy these books, and then from February we'll start airing on national TV in Nigeria. We are already showing twice on TV, national TV in America, and it's amazing. We give God praise. So when you buy these books, it literally helps us to do what we have to do. We don't put demands upon people. You know, we just say, hey, we're going to preach the gospel. That's it. But we have some books here in French. So this is in French. You can get yourself a copy in French. The English one, of course, God speaks English. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You French people have to learn to speak English when you go to France. Thank you, Jesus. This one's called Tetelestai, Tout est accompli, Marcher dans les réalités de la nouvelle création. Okay? It will be a blessing for you. This will be a great book for you to get. I'm telling you, the information in this book will change your life. Okay? So get yourself a copy of this. This is 15 francs. Then this one here, La puissance du parler en langue. 101 Benefits of Praying in Tongues. Get yourself a copy of that. That's 20 francs. And then, Cette façon d'augmenter votre onction. Okay? How to increase in the anointing of God. That's also 20 francs. Hallelujah. Now, we come to the English one. Hallelujah. And all the English people say, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. This is my latest book. It's called Healing Belongs to You. Healing Belongs to You. This book will teach you how to walk in divine health. Amen. And it'll teach you what kinds of sickness Jesus healed in his ministry. The different Greek words, okay? It will really open your eyes. The very first chapter is called the flagellum of disease. Now, do you know what the word flagellum means? Flagellum is a whip, okay? It's a whip. The Roman whip was called the flagellum. Jesus took the flagellum of disease so that you don't have to take it. Amen? Everybody needs to know how to walk in divine health. And there's one chapter in there which is really great, because if it doesn't affect you now, it's going to affect you later. It's called, Do I Have the Right to Walk in Divine Health in My Old Age? Right? You won't always be 20. Am I correct? Yes. You know, you see some ladies, you say, well, I look 35. Yeah, but you're 53. Doesn't matter if you cut it and put it behind your ears, you're still 53. Amen. So that's also 20 francs. And then this one here, also a brand new book, Turning Your Dreams into Realities. So I really recommend this book to every young man and every young lady. Get a copy of this book.
I wish I had this book when I was 15 years old. 17, 20, 20, 30 years old. I wish I had this book because the information in this book will change your life. Amen. Then this one here, this has made me famous in Nigeria. Exposing and Overcoming the Spirit of Barrenness. Made me famous in Nigeria. Hallelujah. There shall be no barrenness here. Amen. And this is not just talking about natural barrenness, but you have ministry barrenness, financial barrenness, right? And so barrenness simply means stagnation, non-productivity. Okay? So get yourself a copy of that. And then this one here made me famous in America, The Power of Praying in Tongues. Okay? Only book in the world that will give you 101 benefits of praying in tongues. If you want me to sign your books, I'll sign your books at the end. Nigeria is the only country where you preach for 1 hour and sign for 3 hours. God is good. All right, are we ready for the word tonight? Lift up your hands and say, my fire must never go out. Say it again, my fire must never go out. Oh, do you really believe that? I can't hear you. Say, my fire. Say, my fire will never go out in the name of Jesus. All right, let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for the word of God. Spirit of God, I'm asking you that you will think through my mind and that you will speak through my lips. Thank you for these, your wonderful people that got ears to hear, mind to understand, and heart to receive the word of God. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody say amen. Amen. Let's look at our foundational text tonight once again. Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 12. I do believe the French Bible has it a bit different from us. Okay, and so I told you, God is English. Hallelujah, amen. I'm just kidding with you. Leviticus chapter 6, please, and verse 12. And then we're going to look at our New Testament foundational scripture, which was 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19. All right, Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 12 says, "And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out." All right, lift up your hand and say, the fire will not be put out. Now, remember, I told you that it was God who sent the fire upon the altar, right? But then it was the responsibility of the priest to keep the fire burning. Praise God. Jesus baptized you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. But after that, you got to keep yourself filled with the Spirit of God. Amen? Somebody say hallelujah. On the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God came as a rushing mighty wind and cloven tongues of fire sat upon them. But then when you read the book of Ephesians, Paul says, be being filled in the Spirit. You've got to keep yourself filled with the Holy Ghost. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Now, so let's keep on reading, please. The fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me read that to you from the New Living Translation. It says, meanwhile, the fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must never go out. Amen. All right, look at your finger. Point your finger at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, say, your fire must never go out. Oh, say it again with life. Say, your fire must never go out. All right. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 19 and verse 20 and 21. All right. Verse 19 to 21, please. The Apostle Paul is talking to the church, to the saints. He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, quench not the Spirit. All right. Everybody say after me. Say, quench not the Spirit. All right, now put verse 20, please, and verse 20 and 21. Now, in the meantime, let me read to you from a different Bible. It says, the God's Word's translation, put it this way, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Amen? Come on, lift up your head and say, I will never put out the Spirit's fire. Verse 20 says, despise not prophesying. There are people today that will just put a cap upon prophecy. When you start to put a cap upon prophecy, you will also put a cap upon the gifts of the Spirit. Now, let me say this to you. Let me say this to you. It is illogical for you to think that you can have revival without the moving and without the gifts of the Spirit. Because if revival depended upon eloquence of preaching, we would have had worldwide revival. Am I correct? Because some of the finest preachers are alive today. Somebody say hallelujah. And today when we use the word charismatic, oh, this preacher is charismatic, right? What do we mean by that? He can make us laugh, right? He's lively, you know, he's excitable, and he makes us laugh. But how can you call yourself charismatics without the charisma gift? In the olden days, to be charismatic meant that you operated in the gifts of the Spirit. But today, to be charismatic means you can make me laugh. Hello? As much as I believe in laughter, as much as I believe in laughing in the Holy Ghost, I didn't come here to entertain you tonight. Somebody say hallelujah. Paul says, I long to see you that I may impart some spiritual gifts inside of you. Come on, say glory to God. We need the gifts of the Spirit. Come on, lift up your hands and say, I need the gifts of the Spirit. Say it again. I need the gifts of the Spirit. I'm telling you, if a church is fluent and is rich in the gifts of the Spirit, revival will break out in that church. But you can't operate in the gifts of the Spirit if you have no respect for the Holy Spirit. Remember this, whatever you respect is what you will attract. If you respect the Holy Ghost, you will attract the Holy Ghost. Somebody say amen. And so tonight, as we've been talking about the fire of God in your life, and yesterday I gave you 7 points that indicates to you 7 lackadaisical attitudes that determines or shows you or exhibit your fire is going down. But tonight I'm going to talk to you about the fire of worship. The fire of worship that goes under the supplication. All right? That goes under what? Supplication. Praise God. Say praise God. Now, I want you to open your Bible with me, please. The fire of intense worship, or ministering unto the Lord. All right? Come on, say it after me. Say, I minister unto the Lord. Okay, now, Acts chapter 13, please. And we're going to read verse 1 to verse 2. Acts chapter 13, verse 1 till verse 2. Acts chapter 13, verse 1 to verse 2. Let's all read together, please. Now there were in the church that was in Antioch, what? Certain prophets and teachers, and as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. Now, what I want you to notice here, before we read the following verse, that there was teachers and prophets, right? These were not just novices in the church. These were the heavy hitters in the church. Amen. There were prophets, teachers, those like Barnabas, like Saul, and then those who had been brought up in the house of Herod. Now, let's go to verse 2, please. Verse 2, glory to God. Look at verse 2. Everybody read me, please. And as they what? Ministered unto the Lord. I want you please to underline the word ministered. Now, if you've got newer Bibles, it will say as they worship the Lord. Okay? So, therefore, another Bible will use the word serve the Lord. Okay? Can I hear an amen, somebody? Amen. Now, it says as they ministered to the Lord, or as they worshiped the Lord, or as they served the Lord in worship. Say this after me. Say, minister unto the Lord. Worship the Lord. Serve the Lord with worship. Okay, now, this is so important. As they ministered unto the Lord, or as they worshiped the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said. Notice that the Holy Ghost spoke in the realm of ministering unto the Lord. Therefore, worship opens you up to the voice of God. Some people say, I've never heard the voice of God. Well, when was the last time you worshiped God intensely? When was the last time you had some fiery, intense worship time with God? Just you and God. Just a face-to-face encounter with God. Can I hear an amen, saints? Now, a major cause for power failure today, and the biggest indictment against the modern 21st century church, is our lack of power. Are you hearing me, saints? Now, I want you to write something down. You see, when it comes to the supernatural, when it comes to spiritual power, if I was to ask you, do you believe that God can do miracles? What would you say? Yes. Come on, talk to me. What would you say? Yes. If I tell you, do you believe that God can raise the dead? What will you say? Yes. If I tell you, do you believe that God can heal somebody of AIDS? Yes. What would you say? Yes. Yes. When it comes to spiritual power, to the supernatural, we have the mental belief, but we lack the physical power, we lack the physical evidence, because we are deficient in spiritual power. Let me say it again. When it comes to the miraculous, when it comes to the supernatural, we have the mental belief, but we lack the physical evidence because we are deficient in spiritual power. And yet when you look at the early church, they had spiritual power. Glory to God. But a major cause for power failure today in the Christian church is that Christians have failed to live a life of ministering unto the Lord. To minister to the Lord. See, that's what Jesus did. Jesus spent major time ministering to his Father. He would find himself a solitary place. The world has a statement in America. I'm sure it's the same thing in here. Like prisoners, they will put them in solitary confinement. You ever heard that before? But when you are in a solitary place with God, it's not solitary confinement, it's solitary refinement. God will refine you. Jesus, between major miracles, he will spend great time with his Father. To minister unto the Lord, please write this down, please. Means to worship God, means to worship the Lord. It means adoring God. It means to magnify the Lord. It means to love on the Lord. It is a face-to-face encounter with Jesus, with God. But you see, today, we are selfish. We're very me oriented. Lord bless me. Lord heal me. Lord deliver me. Lord, I need this. Lord, I need that. Lord, I need this. We want the Lord to minister to us constantly without ever giving the thought of ministering back to him. Are you hearing me, saints? But Acts chapter 13 and verse 1 and 2 teaches us, write this down please, that before we can ever minister to people, we have to first minister to the Lord. Before you can ever minister to people, that we must first minister to God. In other words, our first ministry is not to people. Our first ministry is to God. Can I hear an amen, somebody? You cannot touch people if you haven't touched God. You cannot touch people if God has not touched you. Taking up and speaking into a microphone doesn't mean that you would touch people. Hello? Say amen, saints. Amen. Ministering to people is only effective after we have ministered to God. Now, let's write a few things down, folks. See, most of our worship is mechanical in outward posture and routine. Whereas we ought to worship God from where? Jesus says, they that worship God must worship where? In spirit and in truth. Right? Look at John chapter 4, verse 24. In fact, if you can put on the screen, John chapter 4, verse 21 to verse 24, please. Verse 21 to verse 24. In fact, you know what? Let's go back up a few verses. Let's go from verse 19, okay? Verse 19 onwards. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet, right? Verse 20, our fathers worship where? In this mountain, right? And ye say that in Jerusalem is the place. I want you please to underline your Bible. We worship on the mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place. Can you see that word place? It's the place where man ought to worship, right? Now, next verse. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Not on this mountain, not in Jerusalem. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Verse 24. But the hour, let's read together, please. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father where? In spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. The Father is looking for a certain type of people. Now, I want you to write a few things down today. True and acceptable worship can only be done in the heart and mind of the born-again believer. Now, this is where I want you to write some things down. Now, listen very carefully here. If you don't grasp everything which I'm saying to you right now, get the CD and listen to it again and again until it drops into your spirit. Now, listen very carefully here. In the Old Testament, the most common word for worship is the Hebrew word hishtava. What? Hishtava. H-I-S-H-T-A-H-V-A-H. And some other relation to that word, okay? Or related form to this word. Its basic meaning, the word hishtava, its basic meaning, it means to bow down. To what? To bow down. To prostrate before the Lord, all right? With the sense of reverence and respect and honor. It occurs 171 times in the Bible, in the Old Testament. The word hishtava and other words related to that word occurs 171 times in the Old Testament. Now, listen to me very carefully here. That's the Hebrew Bible. Now, when they translated the Hebrew Old Testament in Greek, it's known as the Septuagint. Why Septuagint? Because it took seven people to do it. All right? The Greek Old Testament, the Septuagint, 164 times, it uses the word, write this down, proskuneo, P-R-O-S-K-U-N-E-O, proskuneo. Now, and the same word is used in the New Testament, proskuneo. Now, what that simply means, face to face. Okay? Now watch this. But when you look at its use, it's used 26 times in the New Testament, Most of it in the gospel, right? And in the book of Revelation. But not used in the epistles. Why? Why is it not used in the epistle? It is used in the book of Revelation 21 times. And the rest, the 5 times in the gospels. Now watch this. Because the angels will bow. The 24 elders will bow. Right? In the New Testament, you saw the woman with the issue of blood bowing before the Lord. You remember that? Okay. So it's remarkable that the main word for worship in the Old Testament is virtually absent from the New Testament, the epistles. Why? Why? Why is this? Now, remember, they would come to Jesus and bow before him. Is that right? Or they would go to the temple and bow before in the temple. You see, here's the thing you need to understand. What the church was trying to get you to understand is that worship is not a place you go to. Worship is not location-based. Do you get that? Worship is what? Not location-based. It's not an issue of a meeting or a location, but worship is an issue of the heart. Can I hear an amen, somebody? Now, look in your Bible, please, with me, to the book of Psalms 137. You see, in the days of old, they view worship as a place to go to. Now, look at me for a second. Let me give you a piece of information. Are you ready? Are you ready? This will stop people from jumping from one church to the next church. Church is not a place we go to. Church is a family that we belong to. Do you have a family? Right? You don't go to your family. You are part of the family. When we can get you to understand that church is not a place that you go to, but a family that you belong to, that will change the way you look at church. Are you hearing me, somebody? Amen. You've got children, right? Doesn't matter how bad they do, they're still your children. He might be the worst knucklehead that you ever know, but still your son, still your daughter, right? When my son does wrong, or when my daughters do wrong, I don't mean that they're not my children, they're still my children. Now, we can get into a tiff, into an argument. Parents do, right? The children, they always, because they think they know more than we do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Like, boy, you know, I was here before you came along. I know what you're thinking, man. I know what. He asked me one time, how do you know what I'm thinking? He said, because before you thought it, I thought it myself. Right? But when they do wrong, and then when they walk away, when they are in school, or they are away in a different place, you still think about them, don't you? Because they're family. So church is not a place we go to. It's a family to whom we belong to. Somebody say amen. Amen. But look at this verse. This is the dilemma of the people in the Old Testament. Look at this now. Psalms 137, verse 1 to verse 6. Now, some people, the only reason why they know these verses is because they heard Boney M. sing that song, okay? This is not, before Boney M. sang about it, before Daddy Cool sang about it, it was already in the Bible, amen? Psalms 137, verse 1. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sang. How many remember that song, right? Some of you used to dance to it. You had big platform shoes years ago and danced to it. Oh, Lord, have mercy. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yeah, we wept when we remember Zion, right? Why were they crying? Because they were now in Babylon, right? We hang our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof, right? Now, read verse 3. For from there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of those songs of Zion. But look at the next verse, please. He says, but how shall we sing? How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? How can we sing about Zion when we are in Babylon? Right? Next verse, please. If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her. Right? Forget her cunning. Right? Now, read the next verse, please. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. What was their problem? Why could they not sing in Babylon? Because to them, worship, I have to be where? In Jerusalem. I've got to be in the temple. So they viewed worship as a place to go to. But God is saying, you don't need to go into a place. You can worship right where you are. Amen. Say amen, saints. Amen. They felt inadequate to worship because they were in Babylon and not in Jerusalem. But Jerusalem was the focal, because to them, Jerusalem was the focal point of worship. So they felt weird to worship. But today, Jerusalem is not the focal point of worship. Jesus is. It's not a place. It's a person. Come on, somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not a place. Come on, say after me. It's not a place. It's a person. Amen. So we've got to learn to minister unto the Lord. It's amazing how often the terms ministering unto the Lord is mentioned in the Bible. Now, there'll be many, but I'll just give you five. Are you ready? Number one, during their stay at Sinai when Israel was in the wilderness. Look at Deuteronomy. So this was in the wilderness. And the word minister means to worship. Okay? It means to serve the Lord with worship, to love on the Lord. During the stay in the Sinai, where Israel was in the wilderness. Look at Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 8, please. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 8. Read with me, please. At that time, read together means, look on the screen and read with me, please. At that time, the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the Ark of the Covenant to the Lord, to stand before the Lord to do what? To minister unto him and to bless him in his name unto this day. Now, notice something here. He says God separated the tribe. There has to be a separation. Can I hear an amen, saints? Now, write this down. There is separated from and separated unto. You separate yourself from the world or from your problems, and then you separate yourself unto God. Now, that is known as having fellowship or communion with the Holy Spirit. The word communion is the Greek word koinonia. And look at me. You cannot have koinonia, which is a word intimacy, without privacy and exclusivity. It is exclusivity and privacy that triggers intimacy. Without exclusivity and without privacy, you cannot be intimate. Hello? No distraction. Are you hearing me, saints? So they separated, the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the Ark of the Covenant. Now, circle the words Ark of the Covenant and write this word down. Whenever the Ark of the Covenant was, symbolized the presence of God. Right? And to stand before the Lord, to minister unto him, to bless his name. Now, can you notice the connection between the presence of God, Ark of the Covenant, and ministering to the Lord? Can you see the connection here? Can you see the connection between ministering to the Lord and the Ark? Okay? Number two, when Israel was going through spiritual barrenness, what do I mean by that? The leaders, the priests, were not serving God properly. The sons of Eli were stealing the offerings and fornicating in the temple. No respectable leadership. When Israel was going through spiritual barrenness and there was no, the Bible said there was no, the voice of the Lord was precious or was rare. There was no prophetic voice, no word from God, no open vision. The priests were wicked and abominable. Look in your Bible, please. 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 17. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 17. Read with me, please. Verse 17 and 18. When the sin of the young men, that's the priests, the sons of Levi, the sons of Eli. When the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for the young men, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. Look at verse 18. Everybody read with me verse 18 together, please. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child. Being what?
A child.
Being what?
A child.
Hey, parents, do you want your children to be worshiping God in their old age? Teach them to worship when they're young. Teach them, listen to me, just because you take them to church doesn't mean they will worship God. Hello? We as parents leave the spiritual responsibilities to the Sunday school. They're only there for 45 minutes. Teach them at home to lift up their hands to God, to worship God, to love the Lord with all their hearts and with all their soul. And they will do that when they see you, the parent, doing it. No man and no woman has ever stood taller than when he's on the floor worshiping God. Hallelujah. And when your children sees you worshiping God, honoring God, tears coming down your cheeks, you don't care about how you look, you don't care how you sound, but you worship God, and then they see results in your home, your children will be marked forever, knowing that my daddy went before God, and God gave him a miracle.
Amen.
Say amen, somebody. That's the reason why I'm telling you, no man ever stood taller than when he's on the floor before God. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And you know why I worship God? I worship God because he first loved me and gave his life for me.
Amen.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. He saved me. I did not save him. He saved me. I did not went looking for him. He came looking for me.
Amen.
I owe him worship. I owe him praise. I owe him honor. I owe him adoration. Glory to God. As a child, look at 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1. Look what it says here. Glory to God. Ready? And the child, what? The child. Say the child.
The child.
The child, what? Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was what? Precious. That means rare. In those days, there was no open vision. But then as he worshiped, he heard these words, Eli. He heard the word, Samuel. Samuel. Bang! Where there was no prophetic voice, the prophetic voice came again. Where there was no open vision, that open vision came again. Where there was no word of the Lord, God spoke again. I'm trying to tell you that when you worship God, God will speak to you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Number three. At the dedication of and the completion of the temple, at its dedication, look what happened here. Second Chronicles chapter 5. Second Chronicles chapter 5, verse 11 to verse 14. Second Chronicles chapter 5, verse 11 to verse 14. Let's read together, please. And it came to pass that when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified, and did not what? Then wait by course. All right, read the next verse, please. Also, the Levites, which were the singers, all of them, Asaph, and Heman of Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having what? Cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood in the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. Glory to God. Look at the next verse, please. It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and the singers were as what? As one, to make what? One sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they what? Lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Come on, lift up your hands and say, the Lord is good. Say it again. Say, the Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever. Say it again. The Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever. Come on, let's say it louder. Say, the Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever. What happened? The house. Then. The house. Come on, say it. Then. When? When they worship. When they give God praise. When they lift up their voice in one accord. Hallelujah. Then the house was filled with a cloud. Even the house of the Lord. Glory be to God. Next verse, please. So that the priest could not stand to what? Minister by reason of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Woo, hallelujah. When you minister unto the Lord unashamedly, and you lift up your voice, and you clap your hands, and you begin to go before the Lord like you don't care about anybody else. It's just you and Jesus. It's just you and your God. And you give him the praise that belongs to him, the glory. God is no respecter of persons. If he did it in the Old Testament, he will do it again. Amen. Hallelujah. I see glory cloud coming into your church. I see glory cloud coming into your life. I see glory cloud coming into your home as you worship God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Huh? The world talks about the clouds of depression. Huh? The clouds of financial problem. The clouds of recession. Glory to God. You can roll back that cloud. And you can bring in the cloud of the glory of God in your life. Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Jesus. Number four. Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus, ministered unto the Lord. It is known today as the Magnificat. You ever heard of the word? The Magnificat. What is the Magnificat? That is when Mary began to give God praise. After that, God told her that, hey, the Holy Ghost will come on you. And that which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of the Most High God. That holy thing, glory to God. And she didn't even have the child yet. How can this be? Right? Then she began to give God praise. My soul magnifies the Lord. Can I hear an amen, somebody? She ministered unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. When she received the word of the Lord and when she saw Elizabeth. We don't have time because it's too long scriptures. The Magnificat is found in Luke chapter 1, verse 46 till verse 45. Hallelujah. Now, number five is when Anna, the prophetess, served. What does the word serve means? To minister unto the Lord or to worship, right? Unto God night and day before the appearing of the Messiah. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 36 and verse 37. Luke chapter 2, verse 36 and verse 37. Are you ready? Everybody read with me, please. And there was? How many? Because there are many Annas. But there was only one that was worshiping God like this. There may be many Glenn. But there's only one Glenn who's doing what he's doing right now. Huh? There may be many Vincent. But there's only one Vincent right now in this church right now. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. There was one Anna. A what? A prophetess. The daughter of Phanuel. Why did the Holy Ghost put that there? Of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age. Now, Samuel was a child. This one's an old bird. Hallelujah. Amen. She was of great age. And she had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. Look at verse, next verse, please. And she was a widow about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but what? Served, ministered unto the Lord, worshiped God with fastings and prayers night and day. Now, what was her name? What does Anna mean? Anna means grace. She was the daughter of Phanuel. What does Phanuel means? Phanuel means the face of God. Look at this. Phanuel means what? The face of God. So Phanuel gave birth to grace. When you seek the face of God, when you worship God, what will flow in your life is the grace of God. Can I hear an amen, somebody? Amen? Amen. Somebody say hallelujah. Now, in closing, see, you have to be intentional about your worship. You know, years ago, you'll see people or preachers that would not come into the service to worship God. They would only come when the worship is over. Then they come in. Now I do my thing. But see, I'm not here as a president. I'm here as a minister of the gospel. So I worship God with you and praise God with you. Now there's sometimes, because I want to spend some more time consecrating myself before the Lord, that I'll go into prayer into the room. But a lot of time, it's not a lot of the preachers, they don't do that because they're spending time before the Lord. They just can't be bothered to go into the worship. Are you hearing me, somebody? And there are people, forget the preachers, there are people that will not come to church for the praise and worship. They will wait till the time of the preaching. And that's wrong. I didn't stutter, did I? I didn't mutter my words. That is wrong. We got to be there from the beginning to worship God, to give God praise. Amen? Amen? Because you know what? Most of the time, if you come there early and start to give God praise and God give God worship, your healing will take place right there and then. Your breakthrough will take place right there and then. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because when you give God praise, power comes down. As Paul and Silas began to give God praise, what happened? The chains and the prison doors were open. May you break every prison doors. Say amen, saints. Let me give you three benefits of worship to God. I mean, I'm talking about unashamed worship. I'm talking about where you will pour your heart out before God. Like Anna in the Old Testament. Like Anna in the New Testament. Like David in the Old Testament. Praise God. You know what I like about David? David said, I'm going to praise God. I'm going to worship God. Somebody say amen. Amen. We'll talk a little bit about David tomorrow. Now watch this. Write this down. I'm going to give you three benefits of worship. Number one, are you ready? If you go back to that verse, Acts chapter 13, please. Acts chapter 13, verse 2 says, they ministered unto the Lord. right? As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, what did the Holy Ghost say? Huh? The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Verse 3 says, and when they had what? Fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. Verse 4, so they being sent by the Holy Ghost departed unto Seleucia. Write this down. Worship unveils the plan of God. Worship gives you direction. Then you're exactly where to go next. Seleucia. Sometimes people say, I just don't know what to do. I don't know where I'm supposed to go in life. I don't know my next move. Worship. Do I go to London or do I go to Accra? Huh? Do I go to, what college do I go to? Worship God. My son's been telling me, Dad, he's graduated. He said, what do I do in my life? What college do I go to? I say, worship God. He will tell you where to go to. He will tell you what place to go to. What's the best location for your life? So worship unveils the plan of God and gives you direction. Number two, worship brings the glory of God down. What does worship do? Brings the glory of God down. We saw that in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 11 to verse 14. It came to pass that when the priests were come out of the holy place, the trumpeters and so forth and so on, and the singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising, right? In praising the Lord and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, what happened? The house was filled with a cloud. The house was filled with a cloud. So worship secures and brings the glory of God. And let me close with this for tonight. Let's stand together on our feet. Hallelujah. Let's stand together on our feet as I close to this one. The last one I'm going to tell you about is that worship brings and secures healing. Worship brings and secures healing. Mark chapter 7, verse 25 to verse 29 says, for there was a certain woman which had a young daughter who had an unclean spirit. She heard of Jesus. She came and fell at his feet, bowed at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. She was not even of the children of Israel. And she besought him. Now, look at the word besought. Doesn't mean she begged. The word besought means she made a demand. Look at me. Your worship makes a demand upon God. Are you hearing me, saints? When you start to worship God, God says, I got to do something. I got to do something. Praise God. Don't you want God to be like that over you? Yes. Huh? You start to worship God. You start to give God praise. And you start to love the Lord. Just bragging upon the Lord. I love you. Lord, I worship you. Lord, I praise you. There's nobody bigger than you, God. You are greater than the greatest. I mean, you are strongest. You are the all-powerful. You are the first and the last. Before you, there was none. After you, there'll be no other. You are the great God. You are the God. You are the love of my life, God. I love you. You know, sometimes I talk to God. I tell you, God, I love you more than ice cream. And I love ice cream. And he knows I'm in it. Lord, I love you more than Haagen-Dazs. There's no Haagen-Dazs that can compare to you, God. Huh? There's a cake in Mauritius called Napolitan. Now, if you come from Mauritius, there is no Mauritian people that doesn't love Napolitan. Am I right, David? Huh? Everybody. When you go to Mauritius, God, I got to have me a Napolitan. Okay? Oh. Somebody said, What does Napolitan taste like? It's like angels dancing on your tongue. It's good. But one day, I'll tell you about that miracle tomorrow. I need, remember I told you about that building I needed to believe God for? I didn't have the money. I went in the woods, walked with God, said, God, to me you are sweeter, you are better than Napolitan God. Hey, don't laugh at me, that money came, glory to God. Are you hearing me? While you're laughing at me, that's all right, the bank is going, ka-ching, ka-ching. Because God loves it when his people worship him. Say amen. And the woman, being a Syrophoenician by nation, she besought him that he would cast the devil out of her. Jesus said to her, let the children be filled first. It's not me to take to the children's bread and to give it to dogs. She said, Lord, even the dogs get the crumbs. And Jesus said unto her, for this saying, go your way. Woman, this is great faith. The devil has gone out of your daughter. Can I hear an amen, somebody? How many of you here tonight, you want God to move in your life? Can we lift up our hands to God tonight? Can we raise our voice and begin to worship God? Hallelujah. Come on, just tell him how much you love him tonight. Hallelujah. Father, I worship you. Come on, open that mouth right now. If you want to pray in English and worship it in English or in French, or you worship him in tongues, hallelujah. Come on, open that mouth right now. Come on, come on. You can do better than that. Lord, we love you. Lord, we love you. God, I love you, God. God, I love you. Hallelujah. Oh, we worship you. We worship you. Oh, I give you praise. I give you glory, God. I give you praise. I give you glory, God. I give you praise. I give you glory, God. I give you praise. Lord, I honor you. I thank you tonight, oh God. We have fire in our worship, oh God. We have life in our worship, oh God. We love you with all our hearts. We love you with all our might, oh God. Come on, put some fire in your worship tonight. Come on, raise that voice right now. Hallelujah. Worship it. And clap your hands. And make some noise unto the Lord. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. And as you worship God, and as you give God praise, he'll give you direction. Hallelujah. Mababosate. Bako sata bora basate. Let me say this to you tonight as we close. That worship opens you up to the gifts of the Spirit. Separate unto me Saul and Barnabas. That's a word of prophecy, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. You want more of the gifts of the Spirit? Worship God. He'll give you the gifts of healings. He'll give you a word of wisdom. He'll give you tongues. See, this is something we don't see anymore. I mean, how can we call ourselves Pentecostal churches when there is no tongues and interpretation of tongues? Come on now. A lot of Pentecostal churches today are nothing more but glorified Baptist church. Huh? But no, what makes us separate from others is that we believe in the moving of the Holy Spirit. Can I hear an amen, somebody? Amen. Pastor Vincent, praise the Lord. Who's coming up here? Is you? Hallelujah. Amen. Pastor Nanny, amen. Don't forget the books.
Praise the Lord.
I need your help with the books. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. Worship team. Hallelujah.
Thank you, sir.
Hallelujah. It's good to worship God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be magnified, O Lord. Be magnified, Lord God. Hallelujah. Be magnified. Be magnified. Be magnified. Open up your mouths and just praise him this night. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord God. We worship you, God. We worship, Lord God. We worship, Lord God. Hallelujah to your name, O God. We praise you. Be magnified. Be glorified, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit of God. Oh, Holy Spirit of God. Be in our midst, oh God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Be magnified. Be magnified. Be glorified. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, we adore you, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Unveil your plans for each and every one of us, oh God. Give us your direction right now in the name of Jesus. Be magnified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Raboshi kanana. Hey, tanama mosanaba. Roboshekete de mama mama. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Arabashendaria karababasa. Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Nothing you can't do. Oh Lord, my eyes are on you. Be magnified. Oh Lord, be magnified. Oh Lord, be magnified. Oh Lord, be magnified. magnified.